this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. So blessed to have with us Paul McGuire, paulmcguire.us. And if you go to hagmanreport.com, you got to draw your attention. Just go to hagmanreport.com. And I asked JD, I said, look, JD, Paul sent an email. I don't know, it was like three. He must have been up like at 3 o'clock in the morning, because I got it at 6 in the morning. So that would have been 3 o'clock his time. And folks, Paul McGuire has a very special package for the Hagman listeners. Go to HagmanReport.com, click on the, you can't miss the banner. I mean, it's got a huge green ribbon there. Hagman and Hagman Report, Paul McGuire special package. And this is worth every penny of this. Hagman listener specials now, $54.87. And if you order now, you can get it in time for Christmas. Mass Awakening, fantastic. Prophecy of the Future of America, and The Day the Dollar Died. Three books, $54.87. You save $20. And then, if you want to go, with the DVDs as well, you've got the Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017 DVD package, the America What's Going to Happen Next, which is, I recommend that to everyone, and of course 2016-2017, the Prophecy of the Future of America, the package there as well. So that's a huge package for just over $100. Order now, get it in time for Christmas, and these make marvelous gifts to people who are just kind of just waking up or want to know more about exactly what's going to happen in America with and globally. Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, with us now and until the end of the broadcast, we have Paul McGuire. His website is paulmcguire.us. He has a radio show, The Paul McGuire Report, right here on Blog Talk Radio, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, which is a fantastic show, folks. Bookmark that show. He's got options to listen on SoundCloud, iTunes. You can bookmark the RSS feed, and there's just a number of ways to listen if you can't catch the show live. Now, Paul is also doing one of two things. He has done a special promotion for Hagman and Hagman listeners tonight, and we're going to get into the details of that. Oh, you just did. I'm sorry. I'm queuing up this stuff. And then he has a prayer meeting at Paradise Mountain Church on Thursday, December 15th. Now go to paulmcguire.us, and it's right a big graphic right in the middle of the screen. Paradise Mountain Church presents The Hills Are Filled with Chariots of Fire, Prophecy and Prayer Meeting at the Garland Hotel, 4222 Vineland Ave, North Hollywood, California. You can go there to paulmcguire.us and register. Attendance is free. You might have to pay for parking, but don't miss this. A number of Hagman and Hagman listeners and other people have got together for fellowship and to listen to Paul and have a prayer meeting. And these have been very successful prayer meetings, and we urge everybody who's available to go and in the vicinity and can get there to go.
That's right. Paul, let's continue on, man. The media. Okay. Elections. Where you left off, man, it's just really bad out there.
Yeah. So the thing is that, for those that can remember, there was a time when the media was very, very liberal. It's always been liberal. But again, at least they tried to live up to journalistic standards. At least they made an effort to be fair. Now, they've thrown all that away. And, you know, it's unabashed lying, distortion, no integrity. You know, I'm going to be very honest with you. I've been on many of I've been on any big show on cable news I've been on. Now, there's a lot of wannabes. I haven't been on their shows, and I won't go on their shows. And I've been on a lot of shows. And seeing what's going on behind the scenes, okay? And here's the deal. Even when I was doing that, they made some effort. Like at that time, I was always invited to be the aggressive conservative radio talk show host. And, I would debate liberal talk show hosts. But at least they allowed both sides to say their thing, and then the audience decided. I've been on those shows where it was me, Paul McGuire, the conservative, with five liberals, or three liberals and two moderates. And man, I'm just telling you that after my first debate, where I held my own, okay, thank God, just from basic instincts, I held my own. But then, like I shared on your show before, I would study my opponents and the host, their previous shows, you know, like a prize fighter would study another boxer's fight that he was going to have a match with. So I would watch what techniques the host and the aggressive liberal guests would use. And so I wasn't caught by surprise. Now, they were too lazy to do that. So I clobbered them. I mean, my appearances were essentially a blitzkrieg of humor, sarcasm, and the total dismantling and destruction of my opponents. Because while they were boozing it up and doing smoking dope or whatever, I was up till like 6 a.m. in the morning, starting at 6 p.m. at night, reading all the notes so I could win the argument, because I didn't have a name at that time, and I knew I was number two, so I had to prove myself. So I memorized all the facts. So when I would get on the air with big-time editors of the largest financial publications in America, and you would know them, and big leftist activists and politicians, they were flying by the seat of their pants, but I had an assault rifle, and I'm not advocating violence, of memorized data and statistics to demolish them. But things have changed. You see, back then they would switch camera on you, they would lower your volume, but at least you had some shot at it. Today it's like, I was watching CNN. There's this cute little girl in blonde hair who's always a champion for Trump. But man, she's a sweet girl, okay? She's very kind. She's smart as a whip. But CNN is so insecure that they have the host and five or six guests who try to take her apart piece by piece. And then when she wins, which she wins often, then the host will jump in and clobber. That's not news. So we don't have news. We don't have honest reporting anymore. We have propaganda because it's controlled by the globalist elite. So the reason the media has gone ballistic with the fake news, besides the censor opposing points of view, is because the bottom, dirty, nasty truth is the mainstream media ratings are crashing everywhere. I mean, they're just collapsing. And guess where all those listeners or viewers are going? They're going to the alternative media, not alternative extreme media, alternative media, alternative radio shows, alternative TV shows, and alternative news sites. And the power, collectively, of all these alternative news sites turned the election, because people weren't tuning in to so-and-so on CNN, and nobody's watching so-and-so from ABC or CBS or NBC. You know, the people on those three networks, ABC, NBC, and ABC, they act like the people in Europe in the time of the kings and queens. They travel in their horse-drawn carriages through the streets of the common people, and they say, let them eat cake as they wear their fineries and eat pleasant food. They look down on us like peasants. Well, guess what? They got taken to the cleaners, and the data on the alternative media is the number of people reading, listening, and watching alternative media is skyrocketing. The believability scores are skyrocketing. And the mainstream media is doing a dinosaur death. We're watching the collapse of it. So since they can't win fairly, they're going to try to use the muzzle of pure force and things like fake news.
Yeah. But Paul, this is kind of what concerns, well, not kind of, this is what concerns us now. You're considered the independent media. We're considered the independent media, and a number of others are as well. There is a war against us, and right. We have watched assaults of the war against us is asymmetrical. They'll go after our sponsors. They'll go after our monetization. They'll go after, they'll throttle the numbers.
They'll make up, and invent stories just to try to make people, like ourselves look bad.
Right, exactly. So my question to you is, what do you expect out of this?
We've seen the attempted censorship bill in the House, H.R. 6393.
I believe that is.
It was the Intelligence Authorization 2017 Act, which then had a provision in it that labeled, among Drudge Report and InfoWars and 198 others, as Russian propagandist. And then in the bill, it talked about taking measures to ban these fake news Russian propagandist site from the internet and from being able to disseminate their information on the internet. And I agree with you, Paul. The mainstream media, their ratings have been crashing faster than the NFL ratings this year.
And our numbers have never been higher, but you cannot tell that from the numbers that are available. We're not on Arbitron. Right. However, whatever the numbers would be equivalent to that, you wouldn't be able to tell from that. So I guess our question to you, Paul, is how are they going to attempt to take us down? You, me, other, you know, us, InfoWars, and any other number of alternative media sites. What's their tactics?
Well, again, as you said, Doug, they're using asymmetrical warfare, which simply means it's non-conventional warfare, and it's really psychological warfare fought on many fronts. So it's a multi-pronged approach. So one of the things is they're going to see if they can get away with censoring and taking down any outlet or news media platform or program which doesn't spout the Marxist politically correct propaganda that the mainstream media and globalist propaganda that the mainstream media are doing. So they're going to try to take it down. You've probably noticed, I've noticed this, especially in the last month, but it's been increasing and escalating steadily for a year, but especially in the last month, because I do so much research, I will go to a very important article on current events research because I want more facts, and I can't tell you the number of times I'm now clicking the link and the page is wiped out. And this is not accidental. It has to do with all trying to get information on all the stories that the mainstream media is ignoring, and now they're literally erasing and removing the pages. They're destroying links so that when Google search or Bing or whatever, and you're trying to type in a topic or somebody who is not part of the mainstream media, you'll find they're buried, 100 pages in, whereas they used to be on the front page or the second page or the third page. They're also using sophisticated computer systems, so when they choose pictures of individuals or stories that they are against and want to suppress, this is a simple thing to do with computers. The computer will sift through, let's say, 100 pictures on an individual or an organization or the artwork of their website or whatever, and the computer will, in a matter of less than 60 seconds, select, by pure artificial intelligence, select the most non-favorable photograph that will make the person challenging their point of view look like they're insane or ugly or wacko or disturbed or evil or something. And this is not somebody sitting at a desk doing it. It's done. The same computer algorithms that they use in airport security and other places, where the computers are reading facial expressions and then sending a signal to security that this person looks like they have anxiety or anger, we need to check their baggage extra hard. The same computer technology that does that can find pictures about you that are very uncomplimentary. And then if people type in your name or organization, it usually says list of photos, and you click it, and you'll be surprised about how many distorted photos there are now, which never used to happen. And then finally, one of the most insidious things is there's a large amount of money being paid to fictitious front groups that masquerade as Christian heresy hunter groups or Christian groups that monitor ministries or are Christian ministries or speakers, and they're not really Christian at all. They're Soros-financed or financed by some other activist group, and there are hundreds of these operating. And they have a team of writers who most often are people who are backslidden Christians, so they have some knowledge of theology and scripture, or Christians who were never born again but went through some kind of theological training to write hit pieces based on lies and distortion attacking various ministries. And they're unaccountable. They hide who they really are. And what they do is they invent lies or mistruths or half-truths about people in an attempt to discredit them. And they can't be challenged, because even if they are challenged, there's nobody behind them. There's no accountability. See, if you look up me, you're going to find out all about me, because I'm not hiding anything. These people all hide behind either fictitious names or fictitious identities or all kinds of things. And the tip-off is Christians and people like your listeners need to have discernment. Just because somebody says they're a Christian group and they're concerned or whatever, you need to discern whether it's truly a Christian group. I don't care how many Bible verses they quote, and what is their motive. And I would say the biggest rule of thumb is, if somebody who claims to be a Christian is criticizing you on a blog site or a website, if it's fine if they're criticizing you based on scripture, but if the criticism is devoid of speaking the truth in love, and it gets into the area of a very harsh judgment without sufficient proof, and there's no attempt to attack or criticize somebody with the intention of redeeming, and it's absent of the agape love of Jesus Christ, that is a hit group. Because all true Christians, even if they're disagreeing with somebody strongly, all true Christians can be identified by the fact that the agape love of Jesus Christ is an important part of the communication.
But Paul, I cannot to hear you say this, and this confirms something that we have been watching, and I really want to appeal to our viewers and our listeners. But what Paul said is absolutely 100% correct, because folks, we have in all of us in the alternative media, the independent media, and especially those of us who present the facts or present the news through a biblical scriptural worldview, have been marked by these very groups and individuals that Paul references. Paul's been in the same seat as well, and we've been attacked. And you may think, well, just slough them off, blow them off. It's meaningless. But what happens is that through their animus, through their, and what you said is so important too, the legitimacy, it appears so legitimate because the Bible verses are right on the money. But Paul, it amazes me how much time, I was looking at one particular site because I'm just going to avoid the details, but I had to look at one site for a reason. And it was supposedly run by one person. However, when I looked at the forensic footprints, and I'll just leave it at that, I could tell it was a group of individuals posing under one name to do nothing but take down specific individuals who are attempting to get the word out there. Now, again, it might seem trivial to some. Yeah, but it's not trivial, because this is part of this deception. And when you go a little bit further, you can see the funding. Well, the funding is there, and it's an important part of this. I'm not going to, because I don't want to reveal anything we already know, because if this does get to litigation, I'm certainly not going to tip my hand, but it's an amazing thing to see, Paul. It really is, and it saddens me, because it gives the Christian community to outsiders a black eye.
Yes, it does. And there are many instances of these kind of websites and blog sites, etc. They masquerade as being critics and judges of the validity of a particular ministry or communications outlet, such as Hagman & Hagman, or they come off like they are the standard bearers for theological purity. But when you even do a cursory reading of the content of these sites, it's based on lies. Lies are not necessarily, lies are almost never complete lies. So you could have a paragraph being communicated where 90% of it is true. That makes it believable. But it's the 10% complete lies, exaggeration, and falsehood that makes it evil in intent. And Christians need to ask themselves and really be discerning, because this is going to increase. You know, everybody who's doing what God wants, it says in the Word, suffers persecution, attacks. The only people who are not persecuted and not attacked are the people who are no threat to the kingdom of darkness. Anybody who is making headway in presenting the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ will be persecuted. I mean, Jesus got crucified on a cross by the religious leaders of his day, who took his words out of context most of the time, by the way. But the reason they crucified him was because he was a threat to the spiritual darkness that they ruled over. The religious people who were status quo and just went with the flow of the corruption and didn't challenge the corruption, they were applauded. They were accepted. It's only people like John the Baptist who stands up and challenges corruption that gets his head cut off and put on a plate. It's only the Son of God, Christ, who gets crucified for really speaking the truth. People who water down the truth, don't speak the truth, they're left alone because they empower darkness. Now, the other thing is, too, in regards to the authorship and content of many of these blogs and Facebooks, it's very obvious to anybody who has any writing skills, such as yourself, myself, and others, that you can easily tell the writing style of an individual. In the film business or acting business, they would call that your signature, and the same in writing. A writer has a particular style, and a writer knows his or her style. They can see it a mile away. That's why I can always tell I'm plagiarized, because I see my signature there. But what happens here is that these people who are doing the critique, they use one name as it's being written by one person, but then the other attacks, supposedly written by the same person, have a completely different writing style, which indicates blatantly that the attacks are being mounted by multiple authors. So once again, it comes down to integrity, not lying and telling the truth. If what you're doing is above board, if you're walking in the light and you're not walking in the darkness, if you're speaking the truth in love, then why would you hide and conceal the truth about yourself? And then why would you use multiple writers to do the attack and pretend it was just from you? And one final thing is, you know, I've been doing a lot of things for a lot of time and a lot of media businesses like you have. And I won't get into how or where, but during my travels over the years, I've become friends with people, let's put it this way, who are very sophisticated in technology, media, surveillance, and intelligence. Some that are very, very high up. And I won't go on any further than that. But I ask them for personal advice and favors and counsel. And it's surprising the information that they share with me about the what is behind and who is behind and funding of certain websites and blog sites and individuals. And I just happen to have access to that information, as I know you do, through your people that you talk with. And I don't discuss it openly on the air, but I think your listeners would be shocked to know that who is really behind some of these things. Amen. The individuals and the funding and the groups. They are nothing to do with Christians, by the way. Let's just put it that way.
I'm right. And folks, what Paul McGuire is telling you, please understand. And again, this is important because this is all part of the end time power play. Ladies and gentlemen, this rises above pettiness. This rises above the ankle biting kind of stuff that goes on when you have that. What Paul is saying is exactly correct. And you know, if we came out and if we did a program, if Paul McGuire, Doug Hagman, and others sat down and we just did a program on just what Paul just said just now, there would be, I mean, your mouths would be hanging open, because I know when I first heard, I thought I misheard, but no. But Paul McGuire is absolutely 100% correct, because we do have some of the similar sources in the higher places. PaulMcGuire.us, that's his website. What a tremendous segment that was, and very insightful. Yeah. And folks, it's not because we are getting, we're under the gun, but you are going to be under the gun too.
PaulMcGuire.us is the website. Go there. Register for his Paradise Mountain Church prayer meeting this Thursday, the 15th, at the Garland Hotel. Stay with us.
This edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Very special guest, Paul McGuire, PaulMcGuire.us. If you're listening to this in any venue, of course, you can tune in and watch Paul McGuire live. It's nice to have him on video. It's nice to be able to look him face to face. And folks, you can watch Paul McGuire during this interview if you go to our YouTube channel, and definitely subscribe the official Hagman and Hagman Report. But just go to HagmanandHagman.com and click on the video there. There's Paul McGuire right there in living color. That's right. Don't adjust your TV sets. Paul McGuire does look just like that. No, he's a good-looking man, and he's a man very well-spoken and extremely knowledgeable. Before we get back to Paul, I do want to mention that we had mentioned earlier GreenInnovative.com. They're the company, the small company that has developed the G-Mag Power Cell. This is a device that charges your rechargeable batteries. It only weighs 8 ounces. It makes power by simply adding salt and water to the unit. It is EMP safe. It's got an indefinite shelf life. It can charge an unlimited number of batteries, and it's made in the USA. This can be a lifesaver. This is one of my favorite products ever. GreenInnovative.com. Now they are extending, and this is important. You got to order by Thursday. That's 2 days from now. You got to order by Thursday to get your unit in time for Christmas. And these are flying off the shelves. They can't keep these in stock. And I was speaking with the owner of GreenInnovative, and he said, "Man, I'm not sure I can fill the order. So get your order in now." And so many men, in fact, a good friend of mine, a guy that lives down the road, said that he bought one, and he just loves it. He loves knowing that he could recharge his batteries under any conditions. GreenInnovative.com, 15% off, is extended through the end of the year. But again, don't wait. Order by Thursday to get yours by Christmas. GreenInnovative.com, and mention, of course, Hagman. 15% off your entire purchase. Go to HagmanReport.com for the link, or just go to GreenInnovative.com.
With us this segment and into the next and final hour, we have Paul McGuire. He is the host of the Paul McGuire Report, heard on Blog Talk Radio, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. And Paul is hosting a prayer meeting at Paradise Mountain Church. You can go to his website, paulmaguire.us, to get the details and register there. It is free. We urge everybody who's in the L.A. Area or has the can get to the L.A. area to be a part of this. You know, many listeners have been there, and sponsors have gone, and people say that it is a very special meeting. And to meet like-minded people and to hear an inspirational biblical message, make sure, if you have the chance, to attend. That is Thursday the 15th at the Garland Hotel in North Hollywood. And also, Paul has a special Hagman Listener special where you can go on his website. There is a big green Christmas bow. And for this Christmas season, he has put together the Hagman Listeners special with three books, three fantastic books: The Prophecy of the Future of America, The Day the Dollar Died, and Mass Awakening, and much more, folks. Go to paulmaguire.us.
Very generous gift. Paul, yeah, we were talking last segment about the attacks against the independent media, and I want to thank Bob and Maggie for keeping me honest. I tend to call us the new media, but it's really we're the independent media. But the attacks against the independent media, and in closing, in that conversation, I'll just tell everyone this: the reason we talk about this is not to whine, because we don't need, you know. So you may ask if we want the cheese with our wine, but it's not the wine. It's not to complain. It's to warn others that you're going to be experiencing the very same thing we're experiencing. You're going to have federal and state regulatory agencies looking at you. You're going to have the IRS, you know, sicked upon you. You're going to have people looking at you, all at the behest of supposed Christians who are not Christians at all. But see, this is to alienate and cause division within the body of the church by non-Christians who say they're Christians. But and that's all I'm going to say on that. But Paul, take us where you want to go from here.
Yeah, Doug, but that was a very good thing. I don't want to really spend any more time on it, but I do want to remind people, as you said, we're on the front lines, so we get the heat first.
Right.
But everybody listening needs to remember, you're next, because the computer profiling will go to you, and then you'll have these pseudo-Christians, which are not Christians. You'll have computers and everything else. And the next thing you know, your Facebook is going to be deleted, your YouTubes will be posted, because you said something as simple as, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Or, you know, Jesus is the way, or you can only be saved in Christ. It starts with us, but this is a ravenous dog with an insatiable appetite. It's going to come after you. But if you draw a line in the sand now and stand up for the people like us who are on the front lines, and, you know, you fire back with emails, swamped emails, defending people that you believe are legitimate, and if you don't think we're legitimate, you shouldn't even listen to us, because you're next. And that oneness is what we have that will enable victory. Our oneness as true brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and giving each other the benefit of the doubt. Now, I want to do a recap on this Trump being elected, and what the dangers are and the blessings are coming up very quickly. I want to talk about one of the, I believe he's been a guest on your show, and he wrote a letter, and the only reason I don't name his name is because I don't like to name people's names unless I talk to them personally. And I thought he was challenging this idea that God has given us a reprieve or a second chance through Donald Trump. And I, if he's listening, you know, I love you in the Lord. I respect your ministry. You're a brother in Christ, so this is in no way an attack towards you. And I want you to know that I thought your letter that you sent to a number of leaders, including myself, was very well written, and you wrote it with the right spirit and the right heart. And that told me, more than your content, that you were a true man of God, because you said what you felt that the Lord was telling you to communicate, but you spoke the truth forcefully, but you spoke it in love. And so I want to commend you for that. That's not easy to do sometimes. And you raised some very valid points. And I just want to answer some of them, because I think the listeners need to process these thoughts. The people are concerned that people such as myself, I assumed I was one of the people he was making reference to, who talk about God giving us a supernatural reprieve because a sufficient number of the remnant prayed. And Trump is an act of God's grace to us. I don't retract that. I believe that. Now, the thing is, though, he talked first, though, he said that no churches were praying and fasting and repenting. Maybe you weren't just clear on that, but there were thousands of true Bible-believing Christians and Christians truly repenting, truly fasting, and truly praying, as my church did, Paradise Mountain Church, and we're having another meeting on Thursday, December 15th, which is free to the public. You just go to paulmaguire.us. So we've been fasting and praying for over a year, and huge numbers of churches have. Admittedly, the vast majority of evangelical churches and Christians have not fasted at all. They haven't repented at all, and they're in total denial. So I wanted to clarify that point. And then the other thing is, you made the well-researched point that a significant number of the Trump appointees were either affiliated with Rockefeller, members or former members of Skull and Bones, Rothschild connections, globalists, and the elite. And you're correct in your assessment of those individuals. And you went on to say that, you know, it's going to be the same old thing, and that because America has not repented, and this the Skull and Bones Illuminati crowd is being hired by Trump, that nothing's going to happen, and we're going to be deceived. I think you blended, and I mean this in love, I think you blended some legitimate truths and concerns. I am very concerned about the people with Rothschild affiliations and Skull and Bones affiliations and the elite and the Goldman Sachs connections, et cetera, et cetera. And you talked about Jamie Dimon. And just as a side note, Jamie Dimon, the CEO for Goldman Sachs, he was one of my best childhood friends in Jackson Heights, Queens. He and his two brothers and parents lived in an apartment, and I hung out there as a young kid all the time. He was a great guy, had a lot of integrity. That doesn't mean he couldn't change, but I happen to know the guy personally. The other thing is that we need to pray for Trump fervently. We need to pray for his administration. It is possible that he could be compromised and be corrupted, but it's also possible that he is simply working with in a fallen system. And the reality is, we are in a fallen system, economically and with business and government. So he has to do the best that he can with the way things are, not some idealistic hope of the way things are. So we need to give Trump a chance. We don't fall asleep. We need to hold his feet to the fire. But I think it's too premature to judge him. But your concerns are valid. Now, the final point is this. You said because of America's evil, we're under the judgment of God, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse. That's what I interpreted what you said. Yes, we are under the judgment of God to a certain degree, but may I offer a different perspective regarding this that I believe is biblical, and just consider thinking about it. Because how we process this whole thing with Trump and what God has done, if we process it wrong, we can literally destroy ourselves from a future God may want to have. And if we don't pay attention to the warning signals that you correctly pointed out, we can be also in danger. So let me just give you a finalized assessment. America is guilty of the judgment of God. You mentioned 70 million abortions. You're correct. But America is not in the complete judgment of God. We're under a partial judgment of God. The very fact that we're communicating now to, I don't know, by the time it's done, this program might reach a million people or hundreds of thousands of people, is evidence that God has opened the windows and doors of opportunity for his people to preach the gospel, communicate a biblical worldview both in the U.S. and around the world. So God has called us for such a time as this, not just to wring our hands and say the judgment of God is coming down, let's head for the hills. Number two is the very fact that we still have this opportunity to preach the gospel in America. Now, the window is closing, and we need to seize the time. But right now, the grace of God has given us a window of opportunity. We have it degraded, but we do have freedom of religion to varying degrees. We have freedom of the press to varying degrees. And we have freedom of speech to varying degrees. They're under attack. That's true. But we still have them. That's evidence that God wants us to do something, which is to go into all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples or communicate a biblical worldview to all nations, occupy the land, our land, until he comes, and do business, kingdom business, until he comes. What is God's kingdom business that he wants done? He wants his people to bring in the last day's soul harvest, because God ultimately is all about love. And yes, he's righteous and holy, but before the outpouring of the wrath of God, he wants to bring in hundreds of millions of souls. Now, in as short summary as possible, this is a divine window of opportunity. Do I know the outcome? No. Do I call myself a prophet? No. Do I say I have all the answers? No. But I and you and every believer should put ourselves in the position of Abraham. When Abraham was about to judge Sodom and Gomorrah for its wickedness, remember the critical conversation that God had just before he judged Sodom and Gomorrah with Abraham. They had a discussion that Abraham initiated. He went to God and then said, God, how many righteous people does there need to be in Sodom in order for you to hold back your judgment? And so Abraham and God went back and forth. Well, what about if there's 50 righteous? And God said, there isn't 50 righteous. And what about if there's 25 righteous? And they went back and forth. And that was a discussion, but it was also a prayer discussion, and it was a form of intercessory prayer. Abraham was appealing to God through prayer to hold back judgment on Sodom, and his basis for asking God that is that there would be a certain numerical remnant that was still righteous. Now, as it turned out, even though Abraham made all these appeals, God finally had to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, and he destroyed it because he couldn't find, I believe, even five righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah. But in answer to Abraham's intercessory prayers, he did pull out Lot and his family. Unfortunately, Lot's wife turned her eyes back to Sodom with longing, and she turned into a pillar of salt. But what do we learn from that conversation? Because that conversation is an interaction between man and God that has occurred throughout biblical history and also in modern times. We learn that God, before he judges, not all the time, but many of the times, he will talk to his people and he will get their input in terms of prayer and intercession before he unleashes judgment. In this case, God overruled Abraham's request because he said there's not enough righteous people. And we don't know what the exact numerical count that God was looking for. So we do have a remnant in America that is crying out to God, that's fasting and repenting and fulfilling Joel. They're coming before the altar of God, reaping their garments and weeping over the sins of the nation. We don't know for sure what the numerical count is of the remnant, but it's probably in the tens of millions. Is that enough to withhold God's complete hand of judgment on America? I don't know that. Only God knows. He's sovereign. But I do know this. My job and your job and every listener's job is not to inadvertently play God and decide with our finite minds whether or not God is finished with us. Our job is to obey the word of the Lord, where God says, pray always, always. So we always pray. Our job is to obey God and to pray for all of those in authority above us, so that the promise of we might lead a quiet and peaceful life will be released. Our job is to engage in high-level spiritual warfare, appropriate the word of God, wear the full armor of God, act upon the teaching of the Apostle Paul when he said, our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against the principalities and powers, the darkness in high places. Our job is to engage those demonic high-level forces, including the territorial spirits, in America, over our nation's capital, over our culture, and to displace them. Because Jesus gave his bride, the church, the supernatural body of Christ on earth, he gave the body of Christ, which is the remnant church, all true believers, the supernatural power and authority to tread upon scorpions and serpents, which represents demonic powers. And Jesus also gave us the keys of the kingdom, which is enormous supernatural authority, so that whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, and we have been given the power by God, the supernatural power by God, to command the powers of darkness dislodge and break their grip over Washington, D.C., over our culture, over the media, and over the church. Now, does that mean our prayers are going to act like a magic wand in Christianized America? No. But it does mean, to some kind of percentage victory, we are capable of winning back, if not all the land, we are capable, in the eyes of God, of taking back the land. And God wants the land taken back, because America is the only nation in human history, with the exception of Israel, that has obeyed and entered into the Abrahamic covenant in Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and curses. And remember, America, the land, is the only nation on planet Earth besides Israel where our founding fathers, the Pilgrims and Puritans, entered into a covenant with God that they had to worship the Lord God and no idols, and they had to hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God diligently, or obey the word of God. We did that imperfectly, and God did the first promise for obedience of those two primary things. It says, if you will do that, those two things, God says, I will raise that nation up above all the nations of the earth. America is the only nation in the history of mankind that has been supernaturally risen up by God above all the nations of the earth, for a special purpose and destiny. And that destiny is, because God blessed, because of the Pilgrims and Puritans and the release of the covenant, God blessed America not only with technology and science and the most prosperous middle class in the history of civilization, the most freedoms in terms of freedom of religion, freedom of press, freedom of assembly, and freedom of speech. God gave us a legal structure from which to preach the gospel to all the world. God gave us, until recently, a powerful economy from which to preach the gospel to all nations of the world. God gave us victory in World War II, and because of our victory in World War II, America was able to influence 181 different nations and plant missionary schools and evangelists in those nations. We turned the course of history. Now, it's true, in recent days, we rejected the Word of God, and we've been under a curse. But because the remnant is repenting, I believe, and ultimately God is the judge, ultimately God is sovereign, like in Abraham's case, I believe that God has given us a second chance, conditional, if we will keep repenting, if we will obey the word of the Lord. I believe that it is the intention of God to raise up America once again in a temporal sense, that means short term, to be the major platform for the preaching of the gospel all around the world. No other nation can do it. We have the convergence, especially with this particular leader, Trump, of renewing our economy, reclaiming our freedoms, using our technology and organizational structure, and America can fulfill its destiny, which is to be the primary platform for the preaching of the gospel around the world in the last days. Millions and millions of people will come to Christ if we obey and repent. Millions will come to Christ. God's highest priority in doing his kingdom business is to win the last day's soul harvest. And America is supposed to be the leader in that. This will be temporal. We'll move into a tribulation period. America will surrender into a global government, perhaps become the new Atlantis or the new Babylon, and judgment will come to America. But it is very possible that God has given us a reprieve. And if that is the case, we don't want to miss it because we have not processed properly what is happening before us.
You know what, Paul? Even before the Trump victory, and certainly before the thought that Trump even had a chance, you were talking like this. You were saying that we are fixing for a revival, that we were ready for a revival, that we were in the process, and you had seen, envisioned a revival. So what you're saying is entirely consistent with what you've been saying for at least 2 years. I believe it at least 2 years. And
actually, I officially began saying it in the first book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, which was published in 2012, okay. the year of the vision.
Wow. So 4 years. How time just munges together. And I find it really interesting that you've never deviated from that revival, centric, operational stance. I mean, it's an amazing thing to me. And we're seeing it come to pass, as you state, temporarily, but nonetheless, it's here. I mean, now it's up to us, isn't it? That we've got to take the ball. We've got to take the reins and we've got to be part of, and look, we have to lead from the ground up. And,
right.
And we're at the top of the hour, folks. You're listening to Paul McGuire, paulmcguire.us. Visit his website and take advantage of the books he's got for sale specifically for this audience, this program tonight. What a gracious gift he's got for all of our listeners, paulmcguire.us. And of course, he's on the radio and he's doing a marathon today, but we love it. And of course, we have him on video. If you're listening to this via Global Store or Blog Talk, certainly just check in on the video. paulmcguire.us. Paul McGuire is our guest. Stay right where you're at. We'll be right back.